we probably should make a motion that each of them can attend and each of them can vote.
Yes, I. So is there a motion and a second to allow Commissioner Schutzenhofer, Commissioner Reynolds-Ogden, and Commissioner Murr to participate virtually due to work obligations?
I so move.
Second.
All right. Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham-White?
Yes.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
For the record, I don't see any of them on, but I do like the idea of just getting this motion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. Public comment. I see no one physically present here. Luke, do we have any?
No, but I did not see no one online. I did not receive any before as well.
Okay. Next, approval of the minutes for the meeting of May 29th, 2025. Are there any comments or questions?
No comments.
No comments.
Okay. I see no comments. Is there then a motion to approve?
I move that we approve the minutes of the May 29th, 2025 meeting.
Second.
All right. Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham-White?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
And Chairman Franek?
I was not present, so I will abstain.
Okay.
Next, proposed rewrite of the Village HPC ordinance. Luke has been working on this very diligently, done a very good job, I believe. He and I have had a couple of conversations as well.
Dave, if you could pause for 1 second while we see if Brian, can you hear us? He just joined.
Okay.
Before we let us know if you can hear us, and we'll do the same.
Hey guys, sorry for being a couple minutes later.
Hi. No problem at all.
Hi.
Thanks for joining.
Let the record show that Commissioner Murr joined at 7:05.
Sorry about that, guys.
Not at all. Okay. We are at the point of item 4 in the agenda, the proposed rewrite of the Village HPC ordinance. I was saying that I believe that Luke has done a really fine job in the initial draft of the rewrite. He and I have had several conversations, and this is now really our time as a group to offer thoughts. The reason for the rewrite is to really do two things. One is to update the ordinance based upon our experience since the last amendment. But secondly, it's really necessitated by the fact that as a commission, we have indicated that we believe that for sake of clarity, accessory structures to significant properties should be indicated in some detail as to the specifics of the procedures when it comes to demolition. Accordingly, a rewrite is really the only way to go, because otherwise you have dependent clauses upon dependent clauses. And this way it can be said in simple, straightforward, declaratory sentences that are easy to understand and administer. So with that, I suppose what we can do is we can go page by page. Are there any comments or questions with respect to page one of the draft, proposed draft?
And if there's any questions from the commissioners about why a change was made or something along those lines, please let me know and I will offer, or Chairman Franek might be able to offer an explanation or two on why those changes were made.
So it looks like the page one is the whereas is.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see any reason to touch that.
Yeah, nor do I. I'm assuming the red edit notes or what mm-hmm. the changes you've made
yes.
to date.
I have none. Carla?
No page. Okay. No page one.
Page two.
No.
I have none.
Nope.
Page three. We now start getting into changes that are really kind of at the root of why we're doing a redraft. The first is the definition of an accessory structure. John, do you have any thoughts? And as an architect,
you know, I read this. I'm curious where the definition came from. I think it works. Because I did look at some other jurisdictions, and it seems like it covers it well.
Okay.
So where I got this definition from, I cannot recall exactly. I do remember it was some sort of like zoning or law school dictionary term mm-hmm. is where I looked it up. It was from a collegiate website.
Yeah. I think it covered.
Yeah.
I was just curious, when we do get this to a point where we're happy, does it have to go through the legal process in terms of looking at, or is it?
Yes. So once this gets to the place where the commission feels is okay to recommend it to the village board for approval, that is when I think the village attorney will review it.
Okay.
And I would suggest that really the goal is to come up with something that is as best as we can, as opposed to as quickly as we can, because we do this so infrequently, given the fact that this is really the governing document for our powers and authorities, authorizations, as well as the public's understanding of what we do and why we do it. I think it's extremely important that we take that time.
I have a question.
Yes.
And that is the first sentence here. Any structure which is located on the same lot as the principal building, and I'm not quite sure why or use is there. Because or use comes later in that sentence to the principal building or use such as.
Probably because there may be instances where there are significant properties that may be other than buildings. They may be fountains. They may be monuments of some kind.
Wall or gates, technically a
significant
property.
Hence the reason for the catch-all use. But that doesn't mean that something else couldn't be substituted for it.
No, I would ask that commissioners review the architectural subcommittee, because this is where some of the newly established powers of the architectural subcommittee that we discussed come forth. And if you would like, I can offer a little breakdown of it.
Sure.
Please. The one thing I would add is I would suggest perhaps we call it the architectural review subcommittee and do that, you know, as a global change throughout. But I interrupted.
Okay, so the main change is on the, or the main, not the change, because this whole thing is technically a change, but the main, what I would say, the key sentence here is the third line after that, the comma, excluding those pertaining to final determination regarding proposed demolition of primary structures located on properties designated as significant or local landmarks. That was my attempt at writing in that they have the power to make determinations regarding certificates of appropriateness besides with the exception of final demolitions for principal properties, aka a home or something. It's to keep in mind the garage and how we had the garage two meeting. It would kind of a way to give the architectural subcommittee a little bit more power, but keep that final determination regarding the demolition of primary structures to the commission.
So what about just the regular 20 feet of the, so the regular additions, request for additions, but not windows and not demolitions. How far does the subcommittee go?
So I think in the existing powers, as of now, the subcommittee is allowed to make, it is my understanding that the subcommittee is allowed to make determinations. That is only if the commission cannot meet. But for,
that's the case.
For everything but demolitions.
Okay, so, but doesn't the HPC, now is this about like the complete application?
Yes.
Because the HPC should still be voting on the certificate of appropriateness, I think.
Okay.
Don't we lose part of our purpose if we hand this off to two people to say, yeah, it's the certificate of appropriateness is approved?
I think the reason for the language that Luke has drafted is it plugs a potential gap if we are unable to make a determination because we can't schedule a meeting with a quorum during the required time frame for our response. So rather than have something approved by default, this allows the Architectural Review Subcommittee to make that determination, except in the instance of a demolition, in which case it does not have that authority.
Any demolition.
It has the authority to make determinations.
Demolition of an accessory structure, but not as to.
That will be added, that will be highlighted later on in one of the powers. And later towards the end of the, it's in there and we'll get to it. But that is a newly added power.
They'll be empowered to act on behalf of the full commission in the event that no meeting of the full is scheduled to occur within 30 days. So there it is, right?
Excluding those pertaining to the final determination of a proposed demolition of the primary structures located on properties designated as certificate as significant or as local landmarks.
Said subcommittee shall be empowered to act on behalf. So we're giving the whole HPC,
No, we're not.
Because it says excluding.
Excluding.
Pertaining to the final determination.
In the first couple of sentences.
Those pertain to the final.
It's 1, 2, 3... Toward the end of the third sentence.
Excluding. It's the third, fourth, and fifth line.
Insisting to review and make on all applications, excluding.
final determination. So they can't, the subcommittee cannot make the final determination.
On a proposed demolition, of the principal structure on a significant property. That's kind of like that. That's the most serious and significant obligation we have, right? We have in terms of review. The other stuff, whether, and we're kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but that's fine. Other things such as demolition of accessory structures on significant properties, whether a whether an application is in accordance with the requirements established by the commission through this ordinance, the so-called four-step analysis that we talked about before, so that that way the architecture review subcommittee can sort of advance the time frame a bit by saying, yeah, it's on a significant property. It's, you know, it is it something that's mentioned in the survey? Is it something that's got the same design materials, et cetera, et cetera? And is it, is there a building permit that indicates it's either at the contemporaneous or roughly contemporaneous with the construction of the principal structure?
So I also, when I wrote this, I imagined it as just giving the possibility of a power to. I would imagine that the commission would always still choose to meet in its entirety.
Yep.
But it's just the ability to do something. And in case of the 30 days or some other unforeseen circumstance.
I mean, I think the other thing that's kind of behind it as well is there are probably two things that the architectural review subcommittee is going to do. One, it's going to continue to do the review of things like, you know, windows as a classic example. It's also going to make determinations whether or not the application for a certificate of appropriateness is in fact in accordance with the requirements of the ordinance, as opposed to the whole commission having to make that determination, then scheduling a hearing for the next meeting.
Yeah, I think that's the big benefit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That we're not having to meet for the residents.
Yeah.
To make sure it's complete.
That initial review.
Yes,
for completeness. I think.
I don't know if that's clear here, but it was my understanding that's what it should have been. You know, that you guys would.
You architects would
be looking at the completeness.
Any thoughts, Brian?
Sorry, I had to find the unmute button there. No, it sounds great and makes total sense. Luke, well done on getting this over. You know, in front of us here.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on page 3?
The only thing I'll ask, just to throw it in there, is when you talk about garages, would it make any sense to say detached garages, or is doing it as a, I guess if it's just garages, it could be part of the principal structure. So maybe it doesn't need that.
Or are you talking about the accessory structure definition?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's necessary, but I just bring it up as a.
Oh, I think that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Page 4. The carryover portion of the paragraph. I suggested to Luke that we include something to address demolition by neglect as being within the definition of demolition. And what I would, the only revision I would say is in the second line of the insertion, demolition by neglect, I would say occurs rather than may occur, because I don't want someone to believe that it's somehow permissible because it's got the word may in there. That is always a concern of preservation commissions. That's something that we faced here to some extent. Although not explicit, a resident strongly implied that they would cease any kind of maintenance. So you get what you get. Mm-hmm. The definition of principal structure. Principal is meant to imply one of the core structure or structures as opposed to the word primary, because there could be only one primary, but there could be multiple principals.
Huh?
Okay. The reason we have accessory structures. The other non-accessory structures are of importance. If and the question is, what do you call them? If you call them principal structures, you then acknowledge that may be multiple important non-accessory structures on a significant property. If you call it a primary, there can be only one primary by definition. Hence, that's why the reason for the word principal.
So back to page 3, Architectural Subcommittee, mm-hmm. Demolition of Primary Structures.
Great catch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then up in the accessory structure, subordinate to the principal building.
Yeah.
So principal or primary, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the definition of as part of the process, anytime there's a change, like, you know, principal or primary or however you want to define it, or when it comes to various section references, obviously the final thing that happens is as part of a quick read through is not only a global change, but checking all the references.
Well, I kind of was going to save that for later because I thought it might be nitpicky, but
no, not at all. Not at all. No, it's one of those things that has to be done because the ordinance doesn't really do anyone any good for either its intended purpose or anyone's understanding of it. If in fact the references are wrong,
yeah,
or the language is, you know.
It's confusing.
We have seen instances where things have been drafted with multiple words used to describe a singular event,
yeah.
And that can create issues.
So we'll just note that we've got principal there and primary there, yeah, and
it's a global.
And
okay,
but other than that, I didn't on page 4. Didn't note anything.
Brian, would you like me to ask you whether you have comments, you want to chime in or say no, or will
sure.
Make silence is no comments? What's the best way to do this for you?
Sure. I think silence, no comments for it. No,
okay.
I think
I'll, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I want to get on the record the participation of as many people as possible so that we know that, in fact, you know, you've had your ability to make whatever comments you had.
I think it's great. Yep.
Okay. Page five, significant property. I would go back to structure rather than property. I was thinking about that later. Any comments on page five?
Oh, just another nitpicky one.
Yeah.
Chairperson instead of chairman on 13.1.3A.
Okay.
Got it.
And that was the only place, if we come across it again, but I thought that was the only, I think that was the only place I caught it.
The chair.
Rather.
Or the chair.
The chair.
Yeah. I would probably just say the chair.
The chair.
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 Like dub airs.
Yeah.
Dutch.
Dutch.
Yeah, put that in. Dutch here.
Page six. My one comment in the second line, or actually in item 10, the commission may issue, deny, or withhold is the same as deny, so I would say condition, because we've done that on occasion.
Or condition instead of, got it.
So it will read as the commission may issue, deny, or condition certificates of appropriateness,
Yep.
Okay. And is condition saying that we, hypothetical situation, we'll give you it if you do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We've done that on several occasions.
Yeah. Okay.
Any comments on page six?
The heading is shall. The heading of Part B, powers and duties, the commission shall. And I didn't know if we should kind of look at that and, you know, does shall fit every item? And obviously on number 10, it does not, because it's may.
Hmm.
Or is that an attorney thing for later?
Suppose you can see the commission shall have the power, the following powers and authorities. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything on page six?
Back to 10,
uh-huh.
So that it is similar to all the other numbers here. Rather than the commission may issue, why not just say deny, withhold, or withhold with certificates of appropriateness or orders?
For demolition. Yeah, you can delete the words of the commission.
Hmm? Just delete the commission may issue or whatever it was.
Well,
because of the others are like inform and educate. Hold public hearings, request technical advice, advise and make recommendations when requested. And then it can just go deny or withhold, recommend it to the village board, perform.
I would keep the word may in, but I see what you're saying. Delete the
and
commission.
Let's put may issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cut the commission.
Yep. Great. Thank you. Page seven. There are no changes. Page eight.
I could take this one.
Sure.
So I left this one blank at the end here. So one, that should be once, not one.
Once.
And fourth, as set forth.
That too. Section
13.1A8.
So this is regarding the applications for local landmarks. Now, when I read it, I did not see a process for this section does not reference what the process should look like. And if I may jump ahead here, because this comment is relating to an comment further back.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone would like to go to page 15 of the draft ordinance.
Yeah.
It's that section towards the middle of the page, findings by the commission. The commission shall review all evidence and is applicable either. Determine if the application does not meet the requirements of definition of a local landmark. So that, I think, means the commission, an application for a local landmark, would have to fall under. Actually, I take that back. My question is, does the commission want an application for a local landmark to have to go through a true public hearing?
You've got my little question mark right there with you.
Or do you want to just go through a regular commission meeting process or the actual public hearing with the signage postage, some sort of mailers, the notice and neighborhood notifications and that sort of thing? So I thought back to page eight, at the top here, it would be under the guidelines set forth in section, and that would be the reference, either section.
Yeah.
I guess this would be 13.18C or 13.18A. Something to think about. We don't necessarily need that thought. It's a question, but.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
In the second line of 13.16A.
Okay, 13.1.
After the words local landmark?
Yes.
I would add something like designated in accordance with the provisions of, and then you reference whatever the hearing requirement is that we otherwise determine. I mean, basically, a landmark is a volitional thing. Someone has to consent to it. It is not something where we can impose it on someone. The village can't impose it on someone. The owner has to come forth and say, I want to do this. Where the distinction lies between a significant property and a landmark is a landmark's got a whole bunch of thou shalt nots associated with it in terms of revisions. It really is kind of locking something in subject to normal maintenance. So, that's something. Maybe we can kind of like noodle on that, talk about it at the next meeting, because I think that's a very good point that's raised, whether you want someone to go through the process.
If they're requesting
a public hearing and all that stuff, because they're requesting it.
Yeah.
But public hearing is usually for demolition, which would affect the general public. And requesting the landmark status, and it would affect the building itself, the structure itself. The application for landmark status does not affect the structure, the condition of the structure at all. It only affects, I don't know if the word status is correct. So it doesn't really have any effect on the village landscape?
I think what it does is
Streetscape.
I think it provides an additional level of required maintenance obligations. In other words, keeping it as it is, or if someone wants to, you know, show us a picture, as someone did with the restoration of a property, taking it back to the way it had been when it was originally constructed, and then designate that as a landmark. So,
I'm just thinking that if somebody wants to impose additional restrictions on their property, it's really none of the business of their next door neighbors.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have any effect on the neighbor's property, except perhaps, you know, make the property more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Or more historic or more architecturally significant.
So we're going to, once, and then should we put completed application for local landmark, or is that being redundant? And then we're going to noodle on 13-1-8A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing about 13-1-6A, and it is what we're looking at. And if you, a careful reading of the current ordinance says that it is a facade visible from a public street or sidewalk. That means that most structures may in fact have three visible facades. In some instances, such as the property that my wife and I own, because we're at a corner, we have four visible facades. The back is visible as well. Now, the determination had been, the first draft we were back in the days of yore that we were presented with, spoke in terms of measuring the 20% based upon linear square footage. And the thought was that's easier to measure. At the time, I thought it was not necessarily the most logical definition, but that did not carry the day. I would raise that question again. I would think that square footage would make a lot more sense rather than say 20% of, say, the frontage, even if it's only, you know, a foot high, as opposed to 20% of the entirety. But that's something that I defer to John as our current architect, and John and David as our architects, the next time we talk about this.
Yeah, I think that's something I would like to noodle on as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And if there's another way to decide it, to determine what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I on first blush, I like the idea of feet, you know.
Okay.
Just because it's a little, you know, it's empirical, right? You can.
Yeah.
Whereas the 20% is a little gray.
That's I think that's the reason why the 20% was. I mean, someone can theoretically go out there with a, you know, laser measure.
Right.
It's like, that's it. That's 20 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's 20%. So.
Yeah.
I will gladly to defer for those that do this stuff professionally.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Any, I think we're on page 8. Anything else up?
Nothing additional.
Page 9.
An application for the withdrawal of property designation. You mean, so an application from someone who wants to be removed from the certificate of, or the significant property list?
Yes. That is existing language.
That property or,
we either say yes or the clock has run out at the end of our delay period, or there is an appeal to the village board which reverses us.
Yeah. I think you've run into that at the public comment a couple times, but it never got to the application point. Yeah. There's anything.
Luke, do you want to talk about the change to 13.16b on page 9?
Yes, so 13.16b on page 9, it had been Director of Public Works, and since I started here, there was a incident where someone in town had a garage on a historic property, and a tree smashed through it, and we were in between Public Works directors at the time, and I just can't remember why, but it just ended up being like Jeff had, we had the interim public works director and he wasn't here. And this person was like, I want the letter now. Like the, I literally have a tree laying across the top of my garage, and I would make the point that they should have gotten the letter, but they had to wait like a day just till the new public works guy got back to write the letter. So I changed it to village administrator, being that I think my position is also like the designated staff liaison for this commission. And this position will always work under, I always work under the village administrator. So it's like a straight pipeline. My cubicle is next to the village administrator office. So it's just the easiest. And if I was, I would imagine the village administrator would also just be like, you know, the village engineer. It's just a more centralized point than I think the director of public works a better position for it.
Why not either director of public works or village administrator, just in case?
Yeah,
one of you are,
I like that,
out of town.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think the reason for the DPW reference in there is because it's health and safety.
Okay, and for while I'm sitting here on 9, this green cross out means that I cut and pasted. It was my, when I was redoing this, I thought that maybe since we are starting the 13.16 on the previous page 8 is the beginning of the certificate of appropriateness process, I thought it would make a little bit more sense to have the application requirements come first, and then the construction requirements come after the application requirements on the next page, on page 10. So it will go from exemption, and then it will just go right into application requirements, and then the next section will be the construction standards. Like, I always felt that that would just be, hey, I'm picking this document up as someone who read it 3 years ago, not knowing anything about it. I always felt that, hey, I read it. Okay, this is what I have to do. Boom. Now here are the requirements on what I need to submit. And then boom, here are the, I just thought it'd flow better.
Yeah, I think it's more logical placement.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Page 10.
Yes, nice.
1316C sub 6. I yield the definition to our architectural colleagues.
Yeah. So this one, you said C, right? The talking
C6. So
C6.
Regarding the application requirements, that little sentence there is
okay.
That little red is what David Reynolds suggested we put in, but I thought we could just tack it on the end there, or we can rewrite that whole thing.
I think tacking it on the end is fine. Basic could lead to some confusion, maybe.
And if there's another way to say it.
Yeah. How about I'll come up with some verbiage and send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we can discuss it next time.
Okay. There is one other key point on this page I want to highlight for the commission. In the beginning of C, that small little change in the third line. I think this is a key little change per the commission's requests as a precondition to commencing work and/slash filing for or obtaining any required building permit. I think that was my attempt to capture the commission's request to require applicants to come before the commission even before submitting before building permits. And that request came from the commission in part from feedback received since I've started as well of applicants being like, hey, I already paid X amount of dollars for building plans and I already have these drawings done and I love the feedback I've given here, but it would have been great to have this earlier. So I think that was my attempt at capturing that new flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I think that's good. I wonder, and you guys can talk me out of this perhaps, but you said commencing work and filing for or obtaining. Is or obtaining necessary if we really want them? We want them to file for it before they get the permit, right? Or are we going too far with that?
No, I think you're right. Precondition to commencing work or
and
filing for obtaining.
And filing for.
She'll submit a formal application as precondition.
It could, it's a little sloppy in there. It could use a little.
I mean, my thought was always they should get the certificate of appropriateness before they submit for permit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, should permit come before commencing work? Is as simple as that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it could be.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big change, but I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. No, that's something that my strong recollection is that the two architectural colleagues on the commission were saying, this is just logical. Everyone else does it this way.
Yeah.
And I think what Luke said is on point, that a number of people have said, hey, we really like the comments. We think they're great. Unfortunately, I've got a basement full of windows. I'm already committed. I can't do anything. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very good idea.
Okay.
It's a classic example of learning by doing and,
yes,
you know, taking the experience and just moving it forward, saying, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's just adjust it.
Anything else on 10?
No.
No.
Nope.
11 is just moving the prior language.
Huh?
I'm looking at your
notes. 13.17a is the calculation of 20%. And that will be noodled upon.
So as it stands for the commissioners, 13.17a, as it is currently written, it is any facade. So I think that, it will be noodle. It will be noodle upon.
Yeah, it's, and I would suggest that when we do it, that we carry forward the definitional phrase. Because this is the kind of thing that people are going to look at as opposed to trying to think, oh, gee, that's a global concept. You know, any facade visible from either a public street or a sidewalk. And just, you know, make that as a global change and carry that throughout.
Yep. Consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, it's also the thing that this is one of those sections that people are going to look at. They're going to just hone in on this. They're not going to want to read all the other stuff.
And B, I couldn't find 13-1-1-C. I think it's a typo.
The reason that
we don't have
13-1-1-C. I think it's supposed to be 6.
I think so.
That last one, great catch, Jim.
It's probably 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we've doubled up here, starting with the commission shall provide for significant properties. I think maybe it got copied in twice or something, because twice in just these several lines, we say advisory only, not binding. Including 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So advisory only, mm-hmm. not binding. Then you go commission's recommendations under 13.17a are advisory only, not binding on the owner. So can we
tighten that up a bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is the first time we mention non-binding.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be sooner? Is that a good place for it to be? Because we all know it's
a lot of screaming and yelling.
It's I mean, in the end, it's advisory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Other than for a local landmark.
Yeah, and there's a lot of misunderstanding.
And so I don't know if, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're binding for landmarks. We can establish a binding delay for demolition mm-hmm. of a significant property. As to alterations of a significant property that do not involve demolition, we are only advisory.
Well, and I think, too, by offering the architects offering help, suggestions, that kind of gets past the not binding, but,
right.
You know, we've done what we can.
Yeah, we're here to help if we can.
Yeah.
Could something like that be put right up front under 13.1.1? Somewhere, purposes and goals. We're talking about foster and encourage preservation, restoration, continued utilization, da 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 da.
I don't know that it goes in that, because that's the general authority. I mean, I think the reason why it's 13, it appears first in 13.1.7 is that says, okay, once we review it, this is the effect of what we've reviewed. And we don't talk about the review until 13.1.7. So I think it's logical to sort of leave it where it is. I don't know if...
Should it stick out more then?
Yeah. Something about...
Kind of buried.
Not what we want to say, but the purpose...
It's mentioned...
Restrict...
It's mentioned briefly.
Owners, but to, I don't know.
Guide or... It's mentioned briefly on 6, at the bottom of page 6, perform such advisory reviews of proposed construction as may be required by 13.1.7. I think that maybe should be 13.1.7.
But it's our decision that really is
right.
Non-binding. Yes, as Chair Franek said, I'm going to start using a new term, our delay is binding. But in the end, all our decisions are.
So somewhere the commission would like a little bit more prominence of those listed powers, I guess is the way I'll just summarize them, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I think we know, and I think, you know, others have said, yeah, you know, it causes some consternation, it causes confusion. So,
and we've had a lot of, you know, in the past.
There was someone a few years ago, I wasn't even on the commission yet. I mean, he stood at the podium for a long time. And it wasn't a Frank Lloyd Wright, but he just was. And yet, if it had been made clear to him that he can, he could do what. And I think Chair Franek was trying to explain to him that, you know, the process is, if he wants to do something, put in the application. It just.
The only thing.
But I don't know that you can get.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, rather than actually writing it out, is before the hearing, is to explain that this is advisory and that it's an advisory process. And in the end, you can do whatever the hell you want to.
Well, that'd be a good word for the owner.
In terms of in terms of the ordinance, I think what the beginning, the scope, purposes, and goal 13.1.1, that's the, for lack of a better phrase, but using one we all know, that's the in order to form a more perfect union, we will clause. It is the aspirational goals of why the commission exists. So I don't think saying that we've got certain powers that are limited makes sense there. I think it's already in 13.1.6, which is the first time that we talk about review. And it says that a review is advisory. I don't know that our goals are really advanced by beating someone over the head and saying, hey, we're only advisory, because that then would allow someone to say, I don't have to listen to you, period.
That's true.
And on some level, if someone is investing a considerable sum that is the result of purchasing any property in the village, or they are advised by a professional, either an architect or an attorney or an engineer or a contractor, back in the day, it was always considered sort of step one when you are working in a particular community to ask, gee, are there any ordinances that specifically pertain to this property in this particular community? If so, what are they? And I'm going to read it and explain it to the client. That seems to me to be non-negotiable. So that I don't necessarily know that putting something, you know, beyond that is, I don't know what it serves.
Well, do you think then that maybe, as somebody just mentioned, that we, you know, our timelines, you know, we'll say, okay, and then after the 30 days, then.
I think it already says that. I think it already says that.
Well, in various areas, we'll say, well, you know, the certificate of appropriateness or something expires after 30 days. I mean, we have a lot of that language here and there. So do we maybe, do we need that in B? Do we actually need advisory only and non-binding? Do we even need that language?
I think you need it in that one sentence because it's the first time we talk about what the powers of the commission are in terms of its procedures. And this is where someone, if they are advising someone in an appropriate manner, would hone in on and would tell them, by the way, this is what happens. Theoretically, the only
we can noodle it. Just, I guess, maybe the first thing to do for next time would be just to clean up those that sentence.
Yeah.
You know, take out binding and advisory and non-binding. Remove one of them and just make it.
Yeah. It said
quiet.
Yeah. It said quiet.
Yeah.
And then it'll still be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I agree with Chin Frantic that first section is not the appropriate place. Like that's what we aspire to do.
Yeah. It's like the mission statement.
Right. Yeah. That's a good
word. As opposed to, by the way, you got limitations. I mean, if you say it's not binding, then do you add, well, you know, you have to respond within X number of days, failing which you have not met your obligation as a commission, and accordingly, it's approved by passage of time by default. I don't think you have to say that either. The other thing at the bottom of 12, and this is one of the questions that Luke raised, and he and I discussed a little bit, and that is, currently the ordinance requires the owner to physically show up. Do we want to say owner or representative?
Yeah. Yes. It could be the architect.
I mean, there.
Attorney.
May be some benefit of having the owner show up. I can think of at least one instance where the representative was an architect, and I sense some bristling as to suggestions by a commissioner, I don't remember which one, who is also an architect, saying, you know, the all of the physical language and the tone suggested, hey, this is my client, who are you to tell me what I have to do? And that's the only downside of using a representative. If someone, the representative can certainly appear, and I would presume if it's a project of significance, you'd want a representative there to help guide you and explain some things. But at the same point in time, sometimes being able to just speak directly to an owner and saying, look, this is what our thoughts are. We don't have skin in the game. We're not, you know, this is not an ego thing. You know, we're not here to, you know, say that your representatives or advisors aren't doing an appropriate thing. We just think maybe you want to consider this, as opposed to just rejecting it out of hand because it's coming from another professional.
Was the addition of or a representative a result of an issue we've had in the past?
No.
So it seems like the language is stronger just to leave it as owner, or?
If you think back about it, I guess this is self-tattling, but we always have not had the owner come in.
Yeah, right. There are occasions when the owner has not shown.
Now, are there circumstances where the commission would want the owner? Specific circumstances, maybe we can noodle on this, or the commission can noodle on that as well.
Yeah, and maybe it's just the demolition of a, you know, significant property.
Well, it's the request of the owner or an owner. Or the commission.
With or without the representative?
You can still schedule.
Yeah, right.
I mean, sometimes.
And the owner or representative shall attend, and that's in parentheses.
And this, by the way, it is not subject to the hearing requirements. So this would be.
To discuss the proposed work.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the sort of pre-hearing meeting.
Okay.
Which, frankly, I don't think anyone's ever taken advantage of. They've just gone straight to the hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where they say, gee, I wish I would have known.
Yeah, yeah.
Although the commission can call that meeting mm-hmm. upon request of an owner or the commission, mm-hmm. the commission shall schedule.
Right.
So if we.
Interesting. I never.
So I guess the question is, what would the commission do under the circumstances that we request an owner or representative to talk to us in advance and they say no?
I can't do anything.
I mean, we've had one instance where, in a notable circumstance, an owner after listening to the commission, said literally in so many words, I'd have to listen to you guys. I'll wait till the thing expires and I'll do whatever the heck I want to do. Not the words that were used. It was a bit stronger than that. And it's like, you know, it's a factual statement.
Well, what's wrong with leaving it in, though?
Excuse me?
Is it?
I didn't hear that.
What's wrong with leaving this in, though? I mean,
oh no, I'm not saying to take it out. I'm just sort of raising the question while we're talking about this whole issue.
Yeah.
You know, what do we want to do?
The only thing you do is, you know, and the owner or a representative must attend. That would be only. That sounds a little draconian.
So what about this? I'm still, it's the word of the evening, noodling this over, this section over in my brain as well. What about, it goes on to the next page in 13, such meetings shall not be subject to the requirements of 13.1.8 of this chapter. So I think I'm agreeing with Chair Franek that this is sort of a
pre-consultation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It could be and owner and or representative.
I mean, one of the things that commissions, broadly speaking, in the preservation area have always said is, look, we don't give advisory opinions. You want to do something, come talk to us. Because otherwise you wind up giving, you know, potentially a lot of free advice that, you know, sometimes goes someplace, sometimes doesn't. I know in the past, and I'm going to pre-Luke days, I believe the way that was handled with is our staff liaison would talk to somebody and have a sidebar effectively to discuss the process. And at least one instance I can remember as a result of the process, someone said, you know what? I just don't want to do it. And they didn't purchase the property, which is fine. You know, I mean, if that's, you know, I mean, that they're certainly entitled to that. I mean, I get back to the same process. If you're doing work in a community on a professional basis, you got to know what's in the ordinance. That's like saying, gee, I didn't realize we were playing baseball. I thought we were playing football. It's like, no. I mean, it's, you got to play by the rules. You got to understand what the rules are. You got to read them.
Yeah. It's always the first step of a project is to do a code search.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
So if someone shows up and say, well, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should.
I think, you know, maybe this to consider C7C is to make this an offer, a pre, because upon request of the owner or the commission. Well, how does the owner even know that this is available?
And they read it.
Well, but maybe they, if it's read that this is some kind of a part of the review process, it isn't, you know, whereas it really is a consultation that that's being offered by members of the commission.
Commissioner Sager, I do, picking up what you're putting down, my thoughts are, is this the correct place for this item? Because I'm interpreting it as the 13.17 is work subject to commission review. I think like the topic of potentially offering a pre-hearing conference might not belong in the section about work subject to commission review. And there might be a better place to put this, especially with this last sentence. Such meetings shall not be subject to the requirements of section 13.1.8. And 13.18 is procedures for commission review. Well, I guess, and that there could be a subsection for procedures for commission review about.
I think this is a good opportunity for this to be made public to property owners. That, you know, and it goes back, Dave has said more than once, geez, somebody said, I got a basement full of windows. I wish I would have known. Mm-hmm. So if we can make
somewhere a pre-review consultation is available.
And that's what C is.
Yeah, and I sort of take back what I said earlier, if knowing that it's more of a pre-review consultation, it seems like the word representative would be appropriate then. Because I could see an architect wanting to come in and talk to you about the process.
It's happened before.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Then it needs a new home.
Yeah.
And as to the location of that new home.
Well, Luke has an outline.
Okay, hear it, Luke.
Duly noted.
No, I think it makes sense.
Yes,
it makes sense. If you if we want to call it out, it's probably not. Mm-hmm. You know, in the present order, it is in the appropriate spot, but that doesn't mean you can't change the order around because we've done that other times. Okay.
D. Now we're at D.
So here is, I'll jump right to it. I put 9 for the placeholder of the demolition delay. I asked the commission to request any number they find appropriate.
I know on several occasions, Commissioner Reno Ogden has indicated he's strongly in favor of 9 months.
Six doesn't do much because we found before in a demolition, they just six.
But this is
a start work anyway, big deal.
By the time, you know, everything is all the meetings and, you know, signage is put up.
And it's winter.
It's done. Winter is here. And
you're right.
And 6 months is gone. 9 months is gone.
I would expect 9. I think we can.
9 is
good.
More reasonable.
For the non-PRI. Yeah.
And the reason.
12, I don't think.
The last change that we did, with some degree of effort, was to get the PRI publicly zoned. Just. That's an imprecise but generic term. Is that they may be properties with such significantly large structures that they would require additional time, up to 12 months, in order to investigate interesting ownership and financing issues with multiple entities involved with respect to one property and the likelihood of taking a large structure, hypothetically, say a school and or a church, and splitting it and just saying, oh, yeah, you can do it in 6 months. If it's going to be condominiumized or it's going to have multiple owners, it's never going to happen in a shorter period than 12 months. And under that circumstance, we were able to get it to 12 months. To the extent that the commission wants to take this beyond the 6 months, I will renew my invitation every time this comes up I'll present whatever we have as a final version to the village board and point things out. As to this one, I think it is best if others accompany me as to this one point.
Well, because you have 90 days.
Yeah, I know. And we got it to 6 months. Yeah. So, with a great degree of effort and to get it to 6 months. So to the extent that the commission wishes to take it beyond to 6 months, then if that's what the majority of the commission wishes upon presentation of this as a final to the village attorney for checking before it's presented to the village board, then I'm saying do accompany me in the presentation so that the rationale behind that can come from someone other than my voice, because multiple people are better, particularly on an issue as significant as this.
I think we should have everybody here to discuss it rather than...
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah, no, the commission can always make a determination that I don't necessarily put forth, but it is my strong belief that the presentation of the final review of whenever it occurs be done with everyone in the commission involved, physically present, so that we can fully discuss anything anybody's got so that everybody's behind it.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to agree, but I think everybody has to physically be here. And there's, I think, in the number of years that I have been chair, I think this is maybe the second, maybe the third time that I've actually said that I thought it was of significant importance. And I think the first time was the last time we did one of these amendments. Because I think it's that important. Because it's foundational at the core of what we do. So.
Yeah. Yep. Well, 9, as you say, is a placeholder. And yep. We've got 6. So.
Yeah. 13.18.
Oh, can we just, on D. Rather than, can we have this in subsections of 1 and 2 for D? Significant properties, number 1, significant properties excluding PRI, and lay out the 6. Yeah. Month, number 2, PRI description.
Oh, okay. You're saying okay. Just break it down a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think that will help the reader a lot.
Mm-hmm. Anything else with 13.17?
No.
13.18A. A global comment. Within here, we talk about 30 days of receiving a completed application. I would suggest a global change wherever we have the concept of a completed application, it be an application in accordance or compliance with the requirements of this ordinance. However, we want to make sure that those references are, in fact, correct linguistically. So whether we say it's in accordance or whether we say it's in compliance, just make it consistent. Whether we call it this ordinance or we call it something else, you know, this title, whatever it is. Because I think that what it does is it removes the subjective and it says, this is the objective target you got to meet. And once you've done it, then you move on to the next stage. And we have had instances where people have not submitted completed applications. And Dave said, gee, we didn't know. And it's, read more closely.
Yeah. Where was it? In the A, I had a catch. Are we still on A?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So A is applications for principal structures. And B should be our applications. So I thought, so I don't understand why A, which is principal structures, ends with in accordance with 8B, when B is accessory structures.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing?
I think determine. Okay, I see what you're saying, Jan. That maybe should be C. I think the intention there is about the public hearing, because B, as it currently stands, applications for accessory structures, I created. So I think, and then C became C. The next page became C. So I think that should be C.
Okay. That's, I think, yeah.
Which makes sense then.
Yeah. I mean, generally, we've got A, and then if even if it's not A or B, just side by side. Okay. We've got principal structures, accessory structures. So it's got, I'm sure it's C.
Yeah. Good catch.
At the end of B, where we have the four-step analysis, I don't know if this is where it belongs, but in any event, is it the commission or the architectural review subcommittee? Right?
Okay, where's that?
It's
in the middle of A?
In reviewing, at the end of B.
I think we've gone on to the next page.
14. Oh. In reviewing requests for the demolition of accessory structures, the commission shall base its final determination on the following.
The commission or the architectural review subcommittee. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay.
And then at the very end of that, in accordance with B is in accordance with B. Yeah. So we need C.
Yep.
Luke, you did a great job. I would have had a lot more of these circles.
One.
Thank you.
The extent to which accessory structure is similar rather than or relevant. I was looking at my notes from the comments of others. Similar in design, construction, or materials to the principle. Structure on the significant property.
I want to point out there's a change here that's not redlined. I just noticed for C1 on page 14, within 60 days after a complete application for a certificate of appropriateness to demolish a primary structure is properly, it should be filed, but that demolish a primary structure, I think that is me, and it's not redlined. And that, within accordance of what we talked about tonight, that should be principal structure.
Mm. Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Now, a topic that would like to bounce off the commission is the use of certified mail. Certified mail is return receipt requested. It's almost $10 a piece of mail. And these are just things to consider. The radius for this ordinance is the largest radius in the entirety of the village's zoning code. It's 500 feet. So for some of the properties, I think one of them, we did the math, it was $700 or something worth of mailers. Mm-hmm. And and a lot of them were returned.
Mm.
So I just think it's just something to consider. Maybe there's a time when certified mailers are wanted and other times when they're not. But it's something to consider because I had no idea certified mailers were that expensive.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either.
I guess the question then is, I think the intent is to have something where there is a response to someone saying, I never got notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how does one otherwise do that? If there is another less expensive way,
knock, 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 knock.
Mm-hmm.
He drives all over the village.
Yeah, I'll send me out.
Yeah, but that assumes that people are going to open the door.
Yeah.
Which is not a shot at Luke. It's more a comment upon who we are as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Is the 500 feet something we would want to look at? Tighten up the...
It's up to the commission.
Yeah.
Needs a little noodling.
Yeah.
You mean noodling 300 feet?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. 500 feet is probably about a block, isn't it?
No. It can get to 2, and it can get to, depending on where you are in town, if it's the tighter center of town or, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know the actual footage, but it kind of depends on where you are in town. You can get a lot.
At a block, one side of a block with a 50 foot wide.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the man.
That seems appropriate. Yeah. Block. You know, costs are really high these days on everything.
Same at the same point in time. Let me play devil's advocate. Okay, theoretically, you're asking someone to pay, ultimately, you know, potentially $700 in providing notice to their neighbors that a property whose demolition will impact their property values in all instances. And, you know, there are a limited number of these things in the village. There's a reason why it's a significant property. Okay, it's a $700, is it 20? But the question is, you look at the response, you know, the impact upon the neighborhood. Is that too much to ask? I asked that question. I don't know what the answer is. I think you just raise it.
I think response will depend on where it is. I mean, I think the one on William, 700 block of William, that was big response.
Yeah.
But others, well, I don't know, demolition.
But I think that's because that block defined itself as a cohesive whole.
Yeah.
I like that you brought it up, but I think it's probably appropriate as it is. It's,
I don't think I would have thought of that.
So where are we at?
We are still on 14.
Page 14. Okay. Back up on B, above C, just right above C. The date of the construction of the structure, do we know what the date, what the significance of the date is, or how, what date plays in, I guess.
The question is whether the accessory structure is contemporaneous with the building of the principal structure on the site. Now, one of the issues is that the village has had both a fire and a flood impacting its records. And despite their best efforts, the Historical Society does not have every building permit ever issued by the village of River Forest. Therefore, you don't know. These four items are designed to provide an indication of what the commission or the architecture review subcommittee would view to make a determination that something as an accessory structure is of sufficient significance that a proposed demolition would frankly be treated as the same as the proposed demolition of a significant property requiring the requisite notice and hearing. That's the purpose for it. And these are the sort of the four criteria, to say, yeah, it is. There are instances where there are garages or accessory structures that are clearly the same or very similar to the principal structure, and as such, a demolition of that should get the same kind of hearing. At the same point in time, there may not necessarily be building permits available with respect to the accessory structure to nail it down. These are just some of the factors that can be considered.
Thanks.
So, anything else on 14?
Well, another nitpicky. So, C1, I think, should start out the same as C2. Hearing procedures for the... So here's C2. Hearing procedures for the demolition of accessory structures. Therefore, C1, hearing procedures for the demolition of principal or primary structures. Okay. Just make it
consistent.
Consistence. Thank you.
And rather than say simply as filed, it's filed in accordance with the requirements of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's the global change.
Anything else on 14?
No.
Nope.
15?
Can staff take one on here?
Yeah.
Staff took the liberty to, but I'm pointing it out, to change the mailing requirements for garages and remove that certified mail return receipt requested and just made it regular mail and kept the 500 feet, pointed it out, open to any and all comments from the commissioners, changes. It's just something we've constantly got. People, it's, recall me, why did I get certified mail about a garage? some stuff I've gotten.
Because it's in the ordinance. I defer to anybody else. I don't have an opinion.
I'm just trying to think of, you know, are there some, you know, there's some massive garage coach houses that significant or close to being significant structures.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of significant properties in the village that have a garage/coach house it's by the same hand. It's, you know, it's by the same contractor. It was built the same time, you can tell.
Right.
You know, as was once said by Justice Potter Stewart in a Supreme Court opinion, you know it when you see it. He was speaking in an entirely different context, however.
Could this be a may rather than a shall?
Yeah, is there, because to your point, we've had all these garages recently, which, you know,
some were made in 2001.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Is there a way for us to have some control over that, I guess?
So I guess this would be, I guess, some verbiage or something could be written up, because at this point, their application has already been deemed complete. So maybe somewhere in that, the process of the completion, deem it complete, the commission can determine that. I don't know if it's worth the mail. I don't know how that would be written, but I guess it could be written in.
To give you the leeway to do just this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although you need something sufficiently definite without a lot of judgment so that someone can't say you're treating me differently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. How do you do that?
You do need some uniformity. So.
This could be another topic for noodling.
Yes, okay.
Add it to the roster, the list.
We have a rather large pot of noodle soup on the back burner here.
So in general, for our number two, so it's within 30 days. However, the mailings can go out up to 30 days. Within 30 days of the proper filing, blah, 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 public hearing shall be held by the commission. Notice of such public shall be published at least 15 days, not more than 30. So,
notice is sent via mail to all owners of the property of 500 feet at least 15 days in advance of the public hearing.
But the public hearing is going to be 30 days and the mailing is going to go out in 30 days.
And I have a question about publication in a newspaper. Which there aren't any. I mean, the Wednesday Journal is online now. Totally.
They still get posted, but yes.
Yeah.
There's a section. Jan, can you explain your...
Well, if we're going to have a hearing in 30 days, but we're sending out a mailer or we're publishing. See, this 15 day. Okay, so if we go down, it's the 15 days, but not more than 30 days. That fits with the 60 days in C1.
Okay, yeah.
And it's exact, the phrasing about publishing is shall be in C1 shall be published at least 15 days, not more than 30 days. And C1 is within 60 days we have a hearing. But I don't know how we can have a hearing in 30 days with this time frame of 15 to 30 days. I mean, if that makes sense, then we would publish in C1, we'd have 60 days to publish. The hearing's in 60 days, and you publish within 60 days. But we don't. We say 30 days. So I just...
Okay, the public...
But I like that the demolition... Is it 30 days? Yeah, the hearing in 30 days because for the, I mean, the demo on C2 for the accessory structures. I like that that's shortened because there's no, you know, we're really stretching out to 60 days. So we cut it down to 30 days. But then as far as notifying.
You're saying there's not time to notify effectively?
Yeah. Is that enough time?
We've got 60 for the principal structure.
Mm-hmm.
We have, as drafted, 30 days for an accessory structure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In each instance, the notice has to be sent at least 15 days prior to the hearing. When you're dealing with the in sub B where the accessory structure hearing is within 30 days, then what you I guess you say it has to be at least 15, but no more than 20 or something like that. You need to shrink it because what you're doing is it can't be the same as 30. Because you got a shorter time frame.
Is 15 doable? 10? 10 to 20? B? Or just leave it at 15 and then go 20?
15 to 20.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have to just think of the steps.
Right.
It may take people 15 days to get their active gear, to get the necessary information, to get it out. Also, including getting it published. And I understand, you know, people don't necessarily read physical newspapers, although physical newspapers do, in fact, contain legal notices. And I am not aware, perhaps there is some alternative means of publication of legal notices that's more in accordance with current circumstances. But
generally speaking, staff handle public notices, at least just the public notices for the newspapers.
Yeah.
That changes anything. That's just how it is.
Oh, the owner doesn't.
No, that's how it is. It is my understanding that's how it is for most things for the ZBA and staff handles and the DRB and stuff that staff handles getting the notice in.
Okay.
For the applicant.
Okay.
So you want to put that in there as opposed to the applicant? Say that staff will do it.
Yeah.
Public notices are prepared by staff at the expense, saving the village potentially $700 at a mob.
Yeah, I'm gonna come back to this one. This is one I wanna
dial in on.
And then now on the big sign, application for accessory structure, demolition. Then for C1, do we want application for primary structure demolition for consistency or not?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I like the consistency, but I'm trying to imagine the sign. Is that just too much getting on the sign? I guess accessory structure as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people won't know what a primary structure is. People understand what an accessory structure is. So I think it's, speaking for myself, I think it's okay to say, you know, demolition of a significant property versus an accessory structure. I think those things make some sense. The question is, and I think this is something that Luke and I had talked about during our conversations, do we want to have them put up a sign for a demolition of an accessory structure on a significant property?
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have a sign up there that the garage is going to be demolished? Do I have to do this when I demolish my garage next year? I mean, if I don't have a significant property.
Well, it's not if your property isn't a significant property, you're not subject to the ordinance.
But if you don't have a significant property and it just says accessory structure and doesn't relate to significant property, then why do you have to put a sign up to tear down your garage?
If it's a significant property. Right. Yeah.
But the sign doesn't say anything about it being attached to a significant property. Does it?
Yeah, I get your point.
Following procedures apply to applications involving accessory structures on significant properties or local landmarks. It's the first line of B at the bottom of page 13. I think that's where it comes in.
And the sign requirement was already exist. It was just for existing for any demolition. It was already existing. So I've been putting the signs out for, but yeah, I guess we can.
So I guess the question is, if a property owner owns, and it's not a significant property, they wanted to demolish something, they have to put up a sign?
I don't know. They have to put up a permit.
Right.
And I don't know. I'll have to.
That would be my question.
Yeah. But anybody tearing down a garage who does not have a significant property doesn't have to put a date, time, and location of a hearing.
That comes from like the whole thing of the sign comes from way back in the day. You got to put your sign out and you got to put your notice in the paper. So I think a lot of this is probably just existing verbiage for decades. If I had to.
Well,
but I don't know. Maybe they have to do mailers for a demolition. I'm not familiar with the building department.
Something to ask. Okay. Anything else on 15?
15. Well, at the bottom of 15 is where we came into earlier and talking about a landmark, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That A section, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I
relocate.
So
relocate and also the noodle for a later date, what requirements a local landmark hearing should go through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 13.1.4 deals with applications for approval of a local landmark. Maybe you move it to there.
That's the
and it's with respect to local landmarks.
Mm-hmm. 13.1.4.
Yeah, that's the big chapter on landmarks, or the section, I'm sorry.
Page 7 and 8.
Yep. It's more than just approval. You can do an A1 designation and an A2, alteration or including demolition. It's a thought. Sixteen.
Moving right along.
17.
16. Something. Oh, yeah, 16. So right above reconsideration, that paragraph, the applicant may present evidence of economic hardship during the public hearing.
I think this should have a this should be E as well. I think it should have its own little sub.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, just something. I don't know if it's
E or forever. The last time this came up.
Where are we?
We're on 16.
Yep.
But down at the bottom, you crossed out by a two-member subcommittee.
And that's not read. The architectural subcommittee after that should be read. That was added.
I see. Okay.
My apologies.
Okay.
17, 18, no changes. 19. Flowchart, once it's all done.
Yep.
So 17. Handy. Yeah, I like that you can't be dividing up your...
Yeah.
Or no, this one was, you have to have something new.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you don't want nuisance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else on the potential ordinance revisions?
Not tonight.
If not,
nothing this evening.
Discussion regarding protection and promotion of river forest architecture and history.
I had one quick question. Just something for you to check. Walking down Thatcher Avenue, 719 Thatcher, they're putting a nice addition onto it. I don't remember seeing that come through in front of us, if that was something that needed to get a certificate of appropriateness. I may have missed it, or it may have been before my time, but it's definitely over 20% of.
That's Steve Lepko's house. It's a Queen Anne.
Yeah, it's a beautiful house.
Yeah, I don't think it's on.
It's not on the...
I don't think so.
on the.
There's an awful lot of stuff.
Well,
that's been going on, including things
the wrong list.
That have been added to the back of properties. The fact that it is not on the front facade of a property does not mean that it is permissible without our input, because you can see it from a public street and or a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Because you can like see as you pass it, house as you pass it, you can see what's being added in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
We should have. So I think there needs to be a bit of a revisiting with the building department as to how those determinations are made. It's just not the front face on the street. There's been an awful lot of construction, and a lot of it's stuff in the rear that absolutely is visible.
Okay.
Just as candidly reviewed, there's a large house on, there's like a 500 block of Thatcher that we reviewed. And they didn't do anything to the front of the house. But it was in the rear, and there was a garage that they demolished and moved and rebuilt and all that stuff. And we had jurisdiction over that because it was visible. And there was no pushback from the owners or their architect and or contractor as to that. Everybody recognized that's what the purpose is. So
it was just pointed out to me that 719 is not in the list of
An observation.
Yeah.
Okay. Go knock on his door. Hey, Steve.
Okay.
I got through that faster than I thought.
Any other business?
Gosh, no.
Okay.
Quick update. The survey is still being worked on. I saw a preliminary draft of it. The updated online survey. Okay.
Is there any other business?
No, I think we did a lot of great work tonight. And usually the first reading is the most in depth. So,
is there a motion to adjourn?
Did he move?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Graham White?
Yes.
Commissioner Murr?
Yes.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
And Chairman Franek?
Aye.
So
we're adjourned at 9:05 p.m.